plenty of questions today, very interesting questions. And as I said yesterday, brothers and sisters, inshallah, no question is a stupid question. Please feel free to send it to Hazrat Mufti Sahab or to the studio, and we will try our level best, inshallah, to pose this question to Mufti Sahab. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh once again for the final slot for this morning's program. Allah reward you and grant you good health. Mufti Sahab, you are ready, I'm ready for you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum, Maulana Salim Kareem. Jazakallahu khairan to our Junaid Mota, mashaAllah. So yes, we are ready. And just one announcement before we start the Q&A. Because, you know, maybe some people missed it. Today is the 29th of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1447. So tonight after Maghrib, we should scan the sky. The moon is 20 hours old and more. So very good chance of seeing it and sighting the crescent. And say, Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. Which means Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin is mentioned in Abu Dawood. Ya Allah, make this month of Jumad al-Ula. Jumad al-Ula, with the Dhamma Pesh on the Jeem. Make this month of Jumad al-Ula a month of Khair and goodness for us, our families and the Ummah. Wa Rushdin, and a month of righteousness. So Allah, and 4 months left then for Ramadan Mubarak. Allah Jalla wa Ala, let us see another Ramadan Mubarak. Allahumma balighna Ramadan, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Jee Maulana, we ready.
Bishab, I would like to find out about the hadith. If you pray 40 salah in Masjid al-Nabawi, is there the same virtue by praying 40 salah? Is this authentic?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Whenever we want to know about hadith and so forth, so know, we should know that which kitab, which book it is mentioned in. So this is mentioned in Musnad Ahmad by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He's buried next to Ibn Kathir, and he's buried next to Ibn Salah, Muqaddama Ibn Salah. So 3 graves in a row. In Maqabiru Sufiya in Damascus. So Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah used to say, there's no maudu, fabricated hadith, there in Musnad Ahmad. So the hadith there is mentioned on the authority of Sayyidina Anas radiallahu an. He, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man salla arba'ina salatan, la tafutuhu salatun. That whosoever read 40 first salat in my masjid consecutively, and he did not miss one rakat also. So you read the first salat behind the imam in Masjid Nabawi, and you were a person who was there from Takbir-e-Ula. Then 3 things will happen for you. Najatu min al-adab, that you will be free, you must remember, and protected and freedom from the punishment. And bariya min al-nifaq, and that person will be free, you must remember from nifaq and so forth. And you find so many other virtues as well. So nifaq and jahannam, and you'll get jannat and so forth and so on. So all that will happen insha'Allah. But from a hadith perspective, remember it is a weak hadith, but these type of ahadith, notwithstanding the fact that they are weak in fada'il and virtues, is accepted. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah wrote a book called Al-Adabul Mufrad. When I met Sheikh Albani rahimahullah in 98, so remember in 99 he passed away. So I told him, Sheikh, I have money, $1,000 in my pocket, but you must give me books. So he was very ill. He started smiling, laughing, like, you know, I had to cheer him up a little bit. So he gave me excellent books, Tahreemu Aalati Tarb, Why Musical Instruments Are Haram in the Light of Quran Sharif and Sunnah Mubarakah. And then he gave me both these books, Sahihu Al-Adab Al-Mufrad and Da'ifu Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. So see Imam Bukhari, in his Sahih Bukhari, 16 years, all Sahih Ahadith there. But yeah, in Fada'il, you get Sahih and you get Da'if also. So therefore, it is Da'if means weak Ahadith, Sahih means authentic. So remember, this is well known among the scholars of Hadith and the scholars who are learning and teaching Hadith. Alhamdulillah.
Kisab, please advise, when women are in Mecca, where is it advisable to pray, in the haram or in the hotel room?
Anything we want to know, as I told you just now, 1 minute ago, go to Quran Sharif, go to Sunnah Mubarakah. Almighty Allah addresses the ladies. The verse was revealed for the honorable spouses and wives of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. La ibrata bi umumil bi mawrid. La ibrata al ibrata bi umumil alfaz. La bi khususil mawrid. This is the law in Islam. You take the general connotation and not for whom the verse was revealed. So chapter 33 and verse 33, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. So you women, you must stay in your homes. All this gallivanting, running taxi here and there, every day taking children to school, madrasa, all that, not permissible. Every day shopping, not permissible. Once in a week, once a month, it's fine. You go visiting once in a, it's permissible. So that, but just running around every day, that's not permissible. And then hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in Targhib wa Tarheeb, Allama Munziri, and wasahahahu al-Sheikh Albani. Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah, said, is sahih hadith. What is the story? Humayda Sa'idiyah came, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to read salat behind you in Masjid Nabawi. He Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his time, the golden era and golden epoch of Islam, told her, Ya Humayda, your house has got three parts, the front, the middle, the back. If you read in front, you'll get more reward. You read in the middle, it'll increase. You read right at the back, you'll get the optimum, maximum reward compared to reading Salat behind me, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Masjid Nabawi. So whether it is Masjid Nabawi, whether it is Makkah Mukarrama, whether it is Masjid Al-Aqsa, 100% for you ladies, you get much more reward to read Salat at home, in your hotel room and so forth. And Sahih authentic hadith mentioned in Abu Dawood, وَبُيُوتُهُنَّ خَيْرٌ لَهُنَّ. Your homes are better for you. However, we must be fair also and just also. If you do read, my sister, my daughter, Salat behind the Imams of the Haramain Sharifain, Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwarah, Aqsa, your Salat will be valid and there's no need to repeat it. So that will be valid. But you're asking what is better, what is more rewarding? Definitely in your houses or in your hotel rooms and so forth.
Mufti Sahab, can a husband and wife be buried together?
I just came now from Fajr Salat. My brother Muhammad Khan picks me up. Allah reward him. So Fridays when I'm here, like now today, we're going to Costa. Allah Ta'ala reward our brother Haji Suleiman Yaqub and our Haji, you understand, Yusuf Isa there. You see, Uncle Brownie, they call him. But anyway, so there in Rustenburg, tomorrow Rustenburg, and then Friday Northam and so forth. So then what you see there, so when Fridays we here, so we go graveyard after Fajr, his father, mother, so they both buried in one grave. So remember to have your parents and husband, wife, parents buried in one grave, totally permissible. If you go there to Basra, you see that in Iraq, you will find Hassan Basri, rahimahullah, and Muhammad ibn Sirin. So these are two giants. Hassan Basri is the sage of the age. And Ibn Sirin, Muhammad bin Sirin, he's Imam Utabir al-Ru'ya. So remember, two people buried in one grave. So if it is husband, wife or so, also all permissible. Especially when they are recycling the graves and all that, all permissible. There's no problem with that.
Mufti Sahab, a nikah was performed, mahar was stipulated and announced when the nikah was performed in the masjid. The mahar was never given to the bride. What happens in this situation?
Regarding the previous question, me and you as Muslims who are listening to this program on Radio Al-Ansar International, Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah, you, my brother, my sister, and your children, grandchildren, and students, every day we should teach them this type of du'as. You must remember that. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Chapter 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. O Allah, Jalla wa Ala, that forgive me, forgive my beloved parents, forgive the believers, whether we know them or not. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ, the day the reckoning is established. And similarly, another announcement, you got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days, and you got 5 days next week, working days. And if you add weekend, Saturday, Sunday, then it's 10 days. So next week, Friday, 31st of October, remember, is a cut-off date for all your objections and grievances against Sahuk. So all of you, whether you applied for Hajj 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 5 years ago, and they took your money and you didn't perform the Hajj and so forth, or they took your money and they told you no refund and you must pay again, so that's a valid complaint, any complaint you got. So remember that the government is involved now, so we must send it to them. So if you haven't received it, yesterday also I received many people telling, just send me a message, 071-888-1184, 071-888-1184, just put Sahuk, don't put long stories, and we will forward it to you. Now this husband and wife got married, right? So I performed the nikah, Mohd Salim Kareem performed, whoever performed the nikah. They told us, you must remember, the mahar is 30,000 rand, 40,000 rand, and so forth. So now when we find out that the husband didn't give anything, for example, therefore, when I don't know about you, Mona, you perform much more, many more nikahs than me, but me, when I perform the nikah, so before I start, who's the groom? I say, this guy. Who's the wakil? This person. Who's the witnesses there? Where's the mahar? So we want to see, Papa, where's the mahar? They show, you see. Say, okay. So then we start the proceeding. So afterwards, there's no fighting and all the arguments and so forth. So remember this, that now you, the husband, told her you will give her X amount. And now you haven't given it to her. So that's her right. Remember that. You must pay it. It's wajib. You have to give it to her. So now you haven't given it. You told her, no, next week, next month, and you're delaying it. So she can tell you, no pay, no play, mamnu ud-dukhul, no entry. You see, she got all the right Islamically to do that. Therefore, yesterday we had tafsir. Junaid Mota, you must listen nicely. The nice hot wonders. So now, there's a lot of, mashallah, people come from Soweto and they come from here. So this guy is a new Muslim. Understood? This guy is a new Muslim. He just embraced Islam recently. So after tafsir, we have Q&A. So he asked me, Mufti, how many wives in Islam we can have? I say, 4. But there's condition. You must do justice and you must be able to support all 4 of them. And if you want to get married, so the best place for you to get married is, you must go Cape Town. There you will get a lot of cook sisters. So there's many meanings to that. Anyway, if you catch it up, very good. And the mahar is very cheap there. You see that? So therefore, I know you know very well, Mohd Salim. On Fridays, Hazrat Mohana Ihtishamul Haq Thanvi, who passed away in 1980, I was there for his janaza. He used to come there after Asr to Newtown Madrasa. And then he used to say, itna lakh rupya jo hai mahar hai. So one day I asked Hazrat Mufti Abdul Salam Sahib, and our ustad used to teach us, you know. He was a very great alim, mashallah. Allah jannat naseeb farmaye. Hazrat Mufti Abdul Salam Chatgami. So I told him, Hazrat, ye jo sab lakho lakho, ye se sab jhoot bolte hai. So what they do, they create the perception, they're going to give hundreds of thousands. Then they make big eyes, and then they tell the wife, you must forgive half, you must forgive three quarter. All this is haram. You put her under duress and pressure and so forth. So you can't do that. So you must give that amount there. And if you don't pay it Islamically, you got the right to prevent your husband from fulfilling his conjugal relationship with you. That is the justice of Islam.
Mufti Sahib, at the time of nikah, is it permissible for the husband to ask for a medical certificate of the wife and vice versa?
So you must remember why you want to do all this day, nikah time, and embarrass the parties and so forth and so on. So remember, if my daughter is there, and now you ask her for a medical certificate on the day of nikah, me, I'll give you a warama clap. You must remember, I'll give you a good hiding. You must remember that. What the hell you putting us through all these expenses, and then nikah time, you come and ask there, is she a virgin or not? Oh, the lady's family, they ask that this guy's rifle is proper, or his rifle repairs business, does he have AIDS or does he have sexually transmitted diseases? So all these things you must decide before, not on nikah day and all that. So yesterday in the tafsir, that brother asked me, Then one brother asked me, he said, is there dating in Islam? So I told him, no dating in Islam. So I told him, open Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse 26. They said, guys are new Muslims. He just took out his phone and he started reading, the evil lady for the evil man, the pure lady for the pure man. I said, hey, you're a sharpshooter, man. At-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin wat-tayyibuna lit-tayyibat. Allah Jalla Wala is elevating the rank of Mother Aisha Siddiqa, the munafiqeen and hypocrites of that time, and the kafir Shias of today. They make wild allegations, accusations against Mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. So Allah calls them with their muta and prostitution, khabis, and impure and immoral people. And Allah calls Mother Aisha and Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the paragon of beauty and chastity. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam 100% the purest of the purest of the purest. Then his wives are also the purest. At-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin wat-tayyibuna lit-tayyibat. So understand the glory and the beauty of Islam. So in a case like that, we must remember that you must look for a pure wife. Look for a pure husband. Not nikah day and one day before nikah, you say, hey, bring medical checkup. That guy will go bribe some doctor and say, I'm 100% clean. But then he got AIDS, he got sexually transmitted diseases. Oh, she's not a virgin and she just gets a virgin certificate. Well, what the hell will happen then? You make a mockery of everything. You got doubt, just don't propose for her or just call it off and so forth long before, not on the day of nikah and all that. That's not permissible.
Okay, Sahab, on the same token, after nikah, if it's found that the man is impotent, does the wife have a right for fatah?
You see, Maulana, you're a very respectable person. Allah Ta'ala, Allah Mazid Fazid. Now, but me, I shoot from the hip, you know. So you use the word, hey, Junaid Mota, you're catching fish there, listen. So Maulana Salim Karim, Hafizahullah, wa-ra'ah, he used the word, the husband is impotent. Now, you know what impotent? It don't mean important, it means it's 6:30, you understand? So that's the meaning, you'll understand. So now, after marriage, now the wife says, there's Mota, he can't job, he can't do the job properly. Now what? You see that? So you must remember then, she must give him time. Then go and get treatment done. Go to the urologist, go doctor, go hakim, go. And you can't come right, then she can apply for fasakh and she can say that no. That now you're going to spoil my life and you're going to spoil my honor and everything. But even if he didn't consummate the marriage, and now fasakh takes place. Fasakh means that now the jamiyat, the ulama get involved, and thereafter they annul the marriage and so forth. So still she will have to sit in iddah, and that will be for 3 menses and so forth. So it's because although they didn't consummate, but they were in khalwa, they were in privacy, they were kissing, touching, smooching, all these things there. So therefore you must remember, some people, they just think, no, they're not consummated, so next day she can marry somebody else. All haram, they're not permissible.
Mufti Sahab, according to Hanafi Mazhab, does one have to recite any qiraat in salah performed with jamaat?
Yesterday I received a very nice question, it seems like from a Hanafi. I don't know what he was thinking, but it was a very nice question, I liked it. So the question he posed was this, we Hanafis, don't read any qiraat. We don't read Surah Fatiha or anything behind the imam. We just stand silent. And Shafis and all of them, they read, right? Shafis say every salat you must read, first salat. And every rakat also. And the Hanbalis and the Malikis say in Zuhur and Asr you should read and must read and so forth. You see, well, Hanafis know nothing behind the imam. So now he said, isn't our reward getting less because we don't reading? That was his question. So I even said, good, like, you know, whatever. So I said, see, when you study the fuqaha, al-imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, 2 statements. You students, ulama, write it down. Go open Kitabul Janayiz in Tirmidhi and you will find that Imam Shafi'i, Muhammad bin Idris, born in Gaza. Sometime he said, Anam in Gaza. And sometime he said, Anam in Asqalan. So Asqalan, Gaza are together, you see, attached to one another, both in Palestine. And he was passed away. 150, he was born after Hijrah. 204, he passed away in Cairo. So now he, Imam Shafi, said, Al-Fuqaha wa a'alamu bima'ani al-hadith. The Fuqaha, the jurors, they know the greater connotation and meaning of the hadith and so forth and so on. First statement. Second statement, he said, because the day, you must remember, Imam Shafi was born 150. That's the day Imam Abu Hanifa was born. Go open the Muqaddama, Introduction of Hidayah, by Allama Marghinani, you'll find it there. Now, when you study Quran, so Surah 7 and chapter 7, verse 204. So this is the Hanafi's biggest dalil. وَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنِ When the Quran Sharif is being read, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ Listen attentively to it. وَأَنْسِتُوا And remain silent. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرَحَمُونَ So that Allah's mercy will encompass you and engulf you. Chapter 7, verse 204. Go to Muslim Sharif and you will find the hadith, these authentic hadith. وَإِذَا قَرَأَ الْإِمَامُ فَأَنْسِتُوا When the Imam reads, you must remain silent. So that is Quran, that is Hadith, that is the Hanafi verdict. Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, they use the Hadith, which is 100% Sahih, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Mustad Ahmad, Hadithun Mutawatirun, is a Hadith that has reached the stage of celebrity. So you must remember, La Salata Illa Bi Fatiha Til Kitab. You must read Surah Fatiha in your first Salat, in Janaza Salat. Otherwise your Salat is null and void, your Janaza Salat is null and void. And that's exactly what Imam Shafi and them say. So then what the Hanafis say about that? They say that that is for a person who is the Imam or he's a munfarid, and a person, you must remember, who's reading Salat individually and so forth. So whether you agree or don't agree, that's your business. But what I'm trying to impress upon you, وَلِّكُلِّيُّ وِجْهَا Every Imam has their dalail, so your reward will not be decreased in any shape or form or manner. So they are great, great giants, you must remember.
What time can we read Ishraq in Johannesburg?
So remember that now you read here in Johannesburg your Ishraq Salat. So now we see that what time is our Fajr Salat? 5 o'clock and this. So 5:30, say 5:25, 5:30. So quarter to six, 20 to six, you can read. You must remember your Ishraq Salat. If you read quarter to six, it's good. 22 also is acceptable. So you read it, mashallah. So that when I finish up here, then I go read my Ishraq Salat because now I'm very busy. Junaid Mutta kept me busy now. We come here, we do the tafsir, we do the news, we go for Fajr Salat, then have to go feed the birds, make one tawaf around the house, check everything is right, make one tawaf here and see, read my Surah Yasin, whatever I want to read, and we're ready for Mu'ana Salim. You see that? So I haven't read Ishraq, so now when I'm finished here, then I go read 6 o'clock, 5 past 6. Alhamdulillah. Every day you make Hajj. Every day you make Umrah. Hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you read Fajr Salat. Thereafter you engage in zikr and good things and good actions and so forth. Then after that you've 15 minutes. So 15 minutes you must remember, then you read your Ishraq Salat. What is the reward? Umratun wa hajjatun tammah, tammah, tammah. Hajjatun wa umratun tammah. So thrice the Master alayhi salam said, you will receive the reward of the maximum optimum amount of reward for a hajj and a umrah. So every day we can make hajj and umrah. We don't have to wait for the harami, MBS or anybody else. So that's a wonderful thing. Try and practice on it. And your day will go very good, inshallah.
Mufti Sahab, I want to know what time does Zuhr commence in Lent?
So you must remember 12 o'clock. So remember that 12 o'clock, Zuhr time starts. Because why? Because come, I teach you something. Pay attention, you. All of you pay attention. Now I can give my secrets away. So remember that. So we have program 11 to 12. You see that? So now our program is Bliss of Marriage, you see. So I tell my wife, 10:30, you must wake me up because I must sleep 1 hour before the program. So I wake up 10:30. Then I shower, everything, this, that, refresh like a lily, you see. And then we read 4 rakat salat, 2 and 2. Imam Malik rahimahullah has mentioned this before the time of Zohar starts, before Istiwa ush-shams, before the sun reaches its zenith. So like 11 o'clock, 11:30, like that nowadays. If you read 4 rakat salat, 2 and 2, you will receive the reward of making ibadat on Laylatul Qadr. Imam Malik is no small person. Huwa Najmun is a star in Quran, in hadith and fiqh and everything. And he mentioned this hadith. So every day, my Muslim sister, my Muslim brother, you can make Hajj and Umrah, 10, 15 minutes. They just leave out 10. Some ulama wrote 10, but don't practice on it. Rather say 15 minutes after sunrise. So you must remember you read Ishraq. You get reward of Hajj and Umrah. Every day, mashallah, you read that 4 rakat salat. 11 o'clock, you can make intention of Salatul Duha also, it's fine. So remember 11, 11:30 and so forth, and thereafter, before the sun reaches the zenith, what you call Zawal is a wrong term, Istiwa is the right term. So remember, you'll get the reward of making ibadat and worshipping on Laylatul Qadr. Imagine, مَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفْ قَدْرَ اللَّيْلَى لَمْ يَعْرِفْ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ. The Sha'ir says, if you don't know the worth and you don't value Laylatul Qadr, then you haven't recognized it at all. So we can make Laylatul Qadr every day, O Muslim, O Muslima. Allah give tawfiq. Allah accept from us all our broken efforts. Allah reward the Capital Group for all the sponsoring this tower, this program. Thousands and millions of people benefit. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Mufti Sahib, I would like to know the ruling of divorce with regard to iddat. Must you count 90 days?
Remember that a husband, ABC, wife, XYZ. So he divorced his wife. One talaq, one divorce, two talaq, three talaq, whatever it is, verbally or in writing. So now we have three different scenarios. Pay attention. Number one is this, that when you issued the talaq, the husband, so now the wife has to go into iddat. Why must she go into iddat? Iddat is the counting period, waiting period, to maintain the sanctity of this institution of nikah. Today, Mohana Salim Karim performs the nikah, I perform the nikah. Junaid Mota can also perform the nikah, but not with the jinnats. You see that, Junaid Mota? Human being, Adam and Eve business, right? So now, Allah Jalla Wala states, chapter 44, verse 54, وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورِنَ عِينَ. We will perform your nikah, O Jannati, O people of paradise, with the damsels and beautiful women of Jannah. You see that? You know, what will be the mahar, Junaid Mota? To get the beautiful hoor in Jannah. When you see dirt in the masjid, don't wait for muazzin, you pick it up. You see that? The hadith in Tabarani. So this institution of nikah will continue. It's not like the kafir kufar system. Today we have this one and then next one and then just jump into bed with anybody, everybody. So Islam wants obedience. Islam wants purity, chastity. So now you divorce your wife. So now remember the chapter 2, verse 228. وَالْمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَدَرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. So there'll be three quru. So wama adraka, what will make you understand what is quru? Hanafis humbly say quru means three menses. So when the third menses ends, so then remember that her iddat will be finished. And if she was in menses, the talaq is valid, is sinful, but that menses will not be counted. Malikis and Shafi'is say three period of tuhur, of cleanliness, okay? So you gave talaq right in the beginning of cleanliness. So like that, you must remember three periods of cleanliness. So that's the first scenario. Second scenario, the lady is pregnant. Surah 65, verse number 4. وَأُولَاتُ الْأَحْمَالِ أَجَلُهُنَّ أَنْ يَضَعْنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ. So then the iddat will be the delivery of the baby when she gives birth. Whether it's after 1 week, 1 month, or 6 months, or 7 months, or 8 months, whatever it is. So that is a surah to Thaniya, the second scenario. Third scenario, you divorce your wife, you old baji, no common sense, 70, 80 years, 50 years, you married, and now you saw your secretary, and Allah forbid, now you divorce your wife, she's in menopause. So then Allah says, فَإِدَّتُهُنَّ ثَلَاثَةُ أَشْهُرٍ, then you count 90 days only for ladies who are in menopause. Allah give us tawfiq. Barakallahu feekum to you, Muhammad Salim Kareem. Junaid Mota, two. I want two podcasts, you see, and Muhammad Salim Kareem's and Mufti Akhu's. Jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.